Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I can't explain it to you, but I've had a bounce in my spirit the last couple of days. And I'm telling you, I have no feeling, I haven't heard from the Lord. No, thus saith the Lord. I'm not a prophetic guy. So this is going to, I'm not saying that, but I'm going to tell you something. The worm is turning, boys and girls. The worm is turning. It's like when you're at a football game or you're watching a football game. And I've used this example many, many times on the show. During the course of a football game, is the coach standing on the sidelines calling the plays and watching everything that's going on out there. I often know at the time, this is a huge play. It could be in the second quarter. It could be in the third quarter. It could be late in the game. But you just know as a coach, this right here, this is it, man. This big play, this is a big play. This is going to change everything. You know it. You can't explain it to anybody. You just know how critical that play is. And often when you go back and you look at the films and say, damn, there it was. There, that changed the whole daggone game right there. We are there. Folks, I'm just telling you, we are there. And the ball bounced our way. It bounced our way. I'm gonna dive into that a little bit here. I think it's so critical that we understand the fearful and unbelieving. Boy, Lord, you gonna pull me back there, Lord? The fearful and unbelieving. Do you have any idea how many Christians are hoping it gets worse so that Jesus will return? Do you have any idea? You would be stunned the number of people who think that way. They don't stand up. They don't push back against anything because worse is better. The worse it gets, it means the return of Jesus is closer. I just tell you, the foolishness, the selfishness of that is just beyond what I can even imagine. And those people out there want so much to be with Jesus, then swallow some poison. Oh, well, I can't do that. That'd be suicide. You know, I can't do that. Oh, really? But you want to get raptured out of here and let everybody else go to hell? Is that your attitude? Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, that's what we're dealing with. What if all of the body of Christ began to pray now for victory in Jesus' name? Victory in Jesus' name. Here and now, right now, victory right here. Say, well, we can't do that, Coach, because it doesn't line up with the Bible. What do you mean it doesn't line up with the Bible? Oh, yeah, it says it's going to get worse and wax worse and worse and worse and worse, and Jesus is going to come. So I can't pray that things are going to, that we're going to have victory over abortion, the restoration of Christian America. I can't pray that. The Bible says that's not going to be that. That's not the way it's going to be. You understand what I'm talking about here this morning? But we're crazy. We're stinking crazy. Never went into
Amen,
a football
Coach.
Game. Never went into a football game ever in my whole life. I thought we would lose. Sometimes we got to be pretty daggone bad. But I'm telling you, going into it, I thought we'd win. I thought they would fumble. We'd make some unbelievable plays. They'd get penalties. There's going to be a way. We're going to win this daggone football game. And there's just going to be a way. And you know the attitude of the church? We win in the end. Oh, yeah? Well, we sure aren't winning right now, are we? Not winning right now. Worms turned. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, there are going to be some unbelievable looks on people's faces if we're still here 50 years from now. Oh boy, huh? Going to be some stunning looks on people's faces if we're here still here 50 years from now and Jerusalem isn't ruling the world. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it. Going to be some stunning looks. See, I'm ready to go. If there's a rapture tomorrow, I'm ready to go. In fact, I'll be on the first bus load out of here, I think. far as I can tell, I'll make the first. I got my ticket. I'll be out of here. But I'd love to see my grandchildren grow and live a fulfilling life and expand the kingdom of God. I would like to see little David become a radical Christian, just like his grandpa, and go out and convert and change thousands and thousands and thousands of people into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you guys want to see that? Is that the prayer? Is that your prayer, church? Or is it doom and gloom? And remember, fearful and unbelieving, the fearful and unbelieving. Unbelieving what? Unbelieving that God can do whatever you want. You want to live out pre-written history. You don't even want to follow the Bible, what the Bible tells you to go ye into all the world. You don't even want to follow that, but you want to live out pre-written history. It's amazing to me. Amazing. I've been put here for a short period of time. I've been put here for such a time as this. And the doom and the gloom around me, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I think the worm has turned. Todd Barham is healed. He's going home. You there, Todd? I get up this morning, I got an email message. I'm in remission. I'm going home. What, Todd? What?
Yes, Coach. I am most likely going home.
What in the heck?
Yeah.
I thought you were on your deathbed. I thought you were dying.
No, sir. No, I am actually in remission right now. So this isn't this is not the final cure. Like I said, there's still a path that I have
you
to
win
take.
You win in the end, all right? You win in the end.
No, the God wins in the end.
No, listen, Todd, you're missing the point. Don't take any more medicine. Don't do anything because you win in the end, brother.
No.
And the sooner you die, the sooner you don't live like that, Todd?
No, Coach. Oh. No, Coach. I have to walk each day that the Lord has given me.
Amen. Amen. And you're walking in victory.
Absolutely.
So, Todd, it's been how long? You've been in the hospital how long?
About 7 weeks.
7 weeks? And this thing hits you out of nowhere, and you are knocked down, and you were to the point where 5 weeks ago, they were trying to figure out what type of pneumonia you had, and I went online, and I said it was some type of bacterial pneumonia or whatever. Was I thought, oh my goodness, because survival rate wasn't even good. I'm thinking my brother's on this deathbed. He's on his deathbed, and here you are, Todd. You're winning in the end. Wait a minute, you're winning now.
Well, Coach, here's the strange thing: is the doctors even said, "Man, we just can't believe how well your body responded." So, you know, praise the Lord. You know,
they call it remission. They call it remission because they don't know what else to call it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if David Arthur's in here yesterday. You know, he had some tests yesterday. I don't know if he got up here with us this morning. Todd, it's the same thing they told David Arthur.
Yeah.
The doctor said, we can't explain it. We can't explain it, but we can't find it anymore. We can't explain it. So,
yes,
hey, listen, I'm not dancing on anybody's grave. I'm not spiking the football. But I believe the Lord's touched you and healed you, brother. And we ought to, if I was down there, Todd, we'd have a big welcoming home party for you. Tomorrow night or whenever it is.
And, yes, sir. We're going to see it. We're going to see you in Dallas, Coach.
Amen. I love that attitude.
All right. That attitude.
So that's one of the reasons I'm excited today. A lot of reasons I am. I just got to share with you what I'm feeling. And you can say what you want. I haven't missed it too many times. Because the Holy Spirit hadn't missed it too many times. I think we are on the precipice of something that we have never seen. That's what I think. And I think it is at a critical time. If the church would awaken, and see and understand the power, not only of we the people, but the power of we the Christians. If the church would awaken and understand that we have been a captured people, that we've been captured by the devil. We've been captured by secularism. We've been captured by socialism. We've been captured by all of these armies of ungodly leaders. We're a captured nation. We're being forced to fund things that we don't even believe in. We're being forced to pay for them to teach our children things that we don't even agree with. We've been forced. It's just everywhere we look. And I'm telling you, the worm has turned. I don't know what it looks like. I don't even know what that means. I'm telling you, the worm has turned. Jared, go to the U.S. Constitution real quick. I'm going to show you something there. Oh, my goodness, there's a lot going on. Talked yesterday about Ripple. It's another one of those, for me, it's another one of those mic drops after it was over and I thought about it, thought about the ripples. You understand the individual ripples that people are making. It would be great to turn it into a tsunami or into a waterfall or turn it into something. And I believe the awakening that's going on is, it's happening. Elizabeth Johnston in the Day of Mourning, they've sold out 2,400 tickets already in Albany, New York. They're looking for an overflow room. Now, please don't miss this. This is happening outside the church. What's coming to America, the pushback in America, is coming outside the local church. Sorry. Sorry. I don't wonder if we don't look around, if God has not removed his lampstand. What is that? What's that called? What did he remove? Lampstand? I'm not so sure that God hasn't said Ichabod to much of organized Christian religion. Ichabod. What's Ichabod mean? Spirits departed. But I am convinced that God's not done with America yet. Now, that doesn't mean we're sled riding down the hill. But I'm going to tell you this. We have, for the first time in probably 30 years, maybe 40 years, maybe 50 years, we have the wind to our back for the first time. Now, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I believe we have the wind to our back. We got to throw up our sails, man. We got to throw up our sails, and we have to go. Did Jared, I said go to the First Amendment of the Constitution. I don't know how I got here. Just click on that, Jared. I want to show you a couple things here before we get into the scriptures that I'm going to get into first. You tell me, folks. You tell me if this applies. All right? You tell me whether or not we have been overthrown just on this one amendment. They call it the First Amendment because it was the most important. And what was the first thing that they did? They established freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law. Why didn't they say the courts shall make no law? Come on, see what, how good of students you are. Why did they say the courts shall make no law? The judicial branch shall make no law?
Because they can't.
Because they can't.
Right.
They
Congress shall not make no law. Now, time out a minute. Who's been making our laws? Has Congress been making our laws? Nope. The courts have been making our laws. Except, as we found out in the Declaration of Independence, it was called pretended legislation, even back in 1776. Pretended legislation. Telling us it's a law when it's not a law. It's not a law. People are beginning to awaken. And isn't it funny? What brought the awakening to states' rights? What brought it? Smoking pot. Right? Smoking pot awakened America to the fact that Colorado could make their own decision regarding marijuana because of the 9th and the 10th Amendment. It was not clearly spelled out, enumerated, and it belongs to the people and to the states respectively. The 9th and 10th Amendment. Colorado said, we're not following that federal law anymore. We're going to make the decision about marijuana. And marijuana is legal in Colorado. It opened the floodgates the opposite direction. Somebody tried to come in. One in.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
As you hear about CBD oil, CBD oil should be $5 a bottle. But there's pharmaceuticals that the FDA is working with, and they intend to price CBD oil at $32,500 a bottle. It's nothing but price gouging.
Okay, so here's the point, Vinny. The point that that I think we need to understand: the fact that you have the right to do something like smoke marijuana doesn't necessarily, that's not necessarily a good thing, but it opened a floodgate. It opened a gate.
Amen, brother.
And so they opened that gate and said, "Listen, we're going to smoke pot. There ain't anything you can do about it." And then, states started to say, well, you know what? We're going to marry we're going to marry homos and there isn't anything you can do about it. You do know that, don't you? You do know that the states started to grant same-sex marriages before the Fed stepped in. You know the states were the ones that started to do it first. Massachusetts was the first one to do it. Massachusetts states led the way, and those, so the feds were behind, and then the feds jumped in and said, oh, we're going to lose this battle. If they figure out that the states can make these rules themselves, oh, we're going to lose control. So therefore, the federal government jumps in and says, yep, yeah, okay, marriage is now legal. You can marry your dog, your cat, your rat, you can do whatever. Marriage is whatever you want it to be. Boom. Because what did they know? They knew it was going to the states. They knew it. They knew it.
They were leading the states with a carrot, because that's where they got the power over them, by giving them all these grants and all these monies. So now it just depends on how well founded the state is, that they're not tempted by the money again, and they can just go on and make their own legislation.
Vic, the genie ain't going back in the bottle. The genie is not going back in the bottle. You can't say there's a state right for this and not a state right for that. You can't say that Colorado can make their own decision regarding marijuana and Ohio can't. You can't say that. You can't say Ohio can have concealed carry and New York can't. Well, can you or can't you? Is that a state right? Is a state right to regulate the way the Second Amendment gives you the right to carry guns? Does the state have the right to regulate that? No, they don't. They don't have the right to regulate that. Courts don't have the right to regulate. Stay with me. I'm running down a bunny tree. I'm trying to open your eyes and understand, see spiritual things in natural events. Will you do that? Will you begin to see spiritual things happening in natural events? So the flooding of the, what do they call that? The floodgate was opened. Rusty Thomas, Matt Tuella, all those guys knocking at the door, trying to get states to wake up and understand that abortion is a state's right. Not, come on, defy them. Defy the tyrants knocking on the door. Come on, defy the tyrants. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. No, 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 we can't do it. We got to follow the federal beast. No, we can't do it. We can't do it. And then finally what happens? All of a sudden, New York says, we're going to kill babies. We ain't just going to abort them. We're going to, as President Trump said, we're going to execute them. And all of a sudden, people say, what? What? Going to execute babies, even though they've been doing it for, how long have they been doing it? They've been doing it for 46 years. They've been executing babies inside the womb. Now they're executing them on the outside of the womb. And all of a sudden people wake up and say, well, they can do that in New York. They can legalize that in New York. We can criminalize it here. It's going on all. Why? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Jared, let's go back to that First Amendment. I'm going to show you something, boys and girls. We better wake up, and we better wake up quickly. Congress shall make no law, because Congress can't make law, or Congress is the only ones that can make law, respecting an establishment of a religion. Time out, boys and girls. Can somebody tell me the religion of America's public schools? Can somebody tell me the religion of the government? Can somebody tell me that religion? Is there any religion? Is the government religion free? Can somebody help me out here? Is there a religion?
Humanism. What?
Yeah, humanism, climate control.
Humanism, environmentalism, secularism. There's a religion, boys and girls. And Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. Yet they've established it, going green now. They're trying to, that's the communion. Abortion's the communion, right? Abortion's a communion. And going green, I guess that's the wine. They are establishing and forcing your children to live under a different religion. Wake up and see it, man. Wake up. Don't miss this. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. This was not where I was going to go this morning. This is all download, okay? Of religion, or, you know those two are connected? Or, you are not allowed to go, I would say to my children, you're not allowed to go swimming in the creek or in the lake. That means you can't do either one of them. You can't go swimming in the creek or the lake. Stay out of them. You're not allowed to do that. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Is Christianity free in America today? Are you free to exercise your faith in the public schools? Are you free? Are our children free to go into school and freely exercise their religion? And the answer to that is
no.
No. No.
It's the LGBT and the Sharia. Those are the laws. Those are the religions that are being facilitated so that children can pick them up. That's the religion.
The religion of Baal.
It's a free exercise. Listen, free exercise of their religion, but not free exercise of our religion. The individual right. Did you know that the Constitution was almost not ratified over this very issue right here? It's not by chance, boys and girls, that they put religion as the number one thing. And as I've told you before, the churches in the states were all established as denominations. Pennsylvania was Quaker. Church of England in Massachusetts. Virginia, Church of England. New York was Dutch Reformed. They were all denominations. Rhode Island was Baptist. And so they knew what they were talking about when they said free exercise of religion. They weren't talking about religions, although you're free to exercise Buddhism if you want to in the privacy of your own home. You're free to be a Muslim in the privacy of your own home. But hey, don't bring it into the schools. That ain't free here, because the religion they were talking about was Christianity. And see, we've let them do this to us. Hang on. I know I'm on a rant. Stay with me a second. This is critical. You with me so far? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Boom. They have violated that. Boom. They violated. How about this one? Or abridging the freedom of the press or speech or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. I got to go on the college campus and they give me a free speech zone where I can go stand. Mark Trump, my brain just went dead.
Fawcett.
Thank you, Craig. When we went down there to Iowa, up there to Iowa, and we went out and stood out in front of there, and those cops tried to come along and said, you have free speech down there. You don't have it here, but you have it down there. Can't do it here. Can't open your mouth here. And Mark Trump said, no, if I go down there, they can't hear me. If I go down there and stand where you want me to, the people I'm trying to reach aren't going to be able to hear me, and I'm going to stand right here. So they can make no law regarding what? The freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. We let them do that all the time. And how about this one? And the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Do we still have that one? You get a chance to read. Can you even get a hold of your congressman? If you tried to pick up your phone and get a hold of your senator, could you even talk to him? Could you get through the layers and layers and layers of people? How do you redress your government? Well, I'm heading somewhere this morning, sort of. I'm going to stop right there because some of you right now have already gone, wow, come on in here.
You can't get a hold of your congressman. You can talk to the layers that are covering and surrounding him. You talk to all these lackeys, all these people that are there that are supposedly taking your call.
That's my point. Somebody else come on in. That's my point. What the H-E-double-L-L are our congressmen doing, spending all their time in Washington when I'm in Ohio?
Because they're not representing.
How do I talk to them?
They're not representing us, Coach.
They're not representing us. They're representing something else. They are not representing we the people. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And we see down in Oklahoma, the Oklahomans passed a bill to criminalize abortion. No abortions in Oklahoma. And what happened? Some pro-life Speaker of the House would not submit it. There's a day not long ago, there'd been a march on his house with torches and pitchforks. We're too Christian to do that anymore. Am I making anybody nervous? Because I get emails about, say, Coach, you're radical. You make me nervous. Well, somebody ought to make you nervous because you're fighting for the future of your children and your grandchildren. No. I'm sorry. We're going to be out of here soon. We win in the end. Ain't no sense fighting for what's right anymore. Coach, it's what the Bible says that's going to happen. We're just passing through. This is not our home.
Isn't that just ridiculous?
This is ridiculous.
I call,
This first 25 years is ridiculous, huh? It's been ridiculous.
I called my senator yesterday, and I was on the phone there for 20 minutes telling that girl. I don't know if any of that 20 minutes will get to that Jose Rodriguez. Telling him. I said, that guy's got to grow a spine. He's got to fall on his sword, metaphorically. We put him up there. He works for us. He doesn't work for the lobbyist or whoever. He doesn't work for the Muslims. He doesn't work for the LGBT. He works for us.
That's right. They're begging him. Jared, get the Declaration of Independence up there. Would you do that for me real quick? Come on, boys and girls. Say, Coach, you're sounding radical. Damn right I am. About time somebody got radical. Huh? When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. I'm tired of Washington, D.C. controlling my life. Anybody else tired of it? No, you're not tired enough with it because they continue to feed you and give you benefits and all that kind of stuff. And they tell you how God, you wouldn't have the fire department. You wouldn't have this. You wouldn't have the army. Come on. Smarter than that. Go on down. I got to show you something, Jared. Slide on down because I want to show you something. We hold these truths to be self-evident, obvious. We hold it to be obvious that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights and that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted. Why? To secure your rights. Not grant them, not taking them away. To secure your rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers. They have unjust powers right now, see? It's unjust powers from the consent of the governed. They don't take the consent of the governed anymore. Are you watching what's going on with Rod Rosenstein and Mueller? Can you believe it? None of these guys elected to office trying to throw out a duly elected president. These are unjust. Oh, my goodness. That whenever. Hang on. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is the duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Wow.
Amen, brother.
Well, we'll be out of here soon, Coach. We're not supposed to be concerned with worldly things. Well, then sell all the stuff you got and give it to pastors.
That's a mouthful, Coach. Amen.
It is a mouthful. It is a mouthful. Now, do you think these guys meant this? Do you understand what happened to these guys after they signed this thing? Do you have to understand what followed it? Okay, so I'm showing you something today. You know, if you're busting to get in, you can get in. I don't want this to be a show just where I talk all the time. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. I'm going to show you something here. Jared. Oh, boy. Jared, go to not paying taxes. You didn't see this, I'll bet you, did you, boys and girls? Did you see this on your local news? U.S. Christian who refused. What's the date on that? It's April 18th, 2008, a year ago. U.S. Christian who refuses to pay taxes until abortion is defunded is his first big win in court. Now, here's our problem, see. When you... I'm sorry to burst your bubble. When you go into the courtroom, you're playing an away game. You're going to... We used to call it to get homer. When I was coaching, you went and played the away team. You know the away team is the one who got the officials, the referees. We told our boys, hey, boys, listen, we may get homered. Homered meaning hometown referees. That's, hey, we've got to overcome being homered. Hey, boys and girls, when you walk into court, you're getting homered. You're getting homered. Because you've been convinced that that guy sitting up there, that judge sitting up there, he's there to do justice. No, no, that's a lie. That is a lie. He is on the other team. He's on the government team. But, hey, does anybody know who pays his check? Who pays the judge's check?
Why? We do.
The government does. We don't, Vinny. The government does.
Well, actually, hey, Coach, not this government. Do you know that our courts are beholden to the British Accreditation Register?
Well, see, now you take me down another rabbit hole. I'm just trying to get people to open it up and understand what's going on to us right here in front of us. So scroll down a little bit, Jared. What did this guy do? Columbia City, Oregon, April 18, 2018. Like 60% of Americans, Michael Bowman opposes taxpayer funding of abortion. Hey, boys, can you go to the First Amendment of the Constitution and tell me how the First Amendment of the Constitution, they can force you to pay abortions? Can somebody tell me that? Congress shall make no law regarding establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And this guy in Oregon said, I'm sorry, as long as you're killing babies, I ain't paying no taxes. Bowman is a 50-year-old Christian and contract engineer in Columbia City, Oregon. He has refused to file a tax return or pay taxes since 1999. The Oregonian reports, citing the federal government's funding of the abortion industry. He said, I'm not a tax protester. I love my country. But I have a duty to my country. I also have a duty to my conscience. The IRS sent him all kinds of warnings, yada, 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 yada. Federal prosecutors say that removing the income tax from the reach of taxing authorities, they've tried to seize all of his money, and then he stopped putting money in a bank, and he went to the bank and cashed his check every time, went home and took the cash home and started paying out of cash, and it made him bad because they couldn't get into his account and seized his accounts, and they lost all power over him. They're still trying to come after him, yada, 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 yada. Hey, they're not going to give up. That's why Ken Hovind is in jail. Federal prosecutors say constantly removing the income from the reach of taxing authorities. Oh yeah? Would you like me to do a show on the income tax? I'd love to do that. Hey, I haven't forgot what I said I was going to talk about yesterday. I just can't get out of this yet. I just can't get out of it. Bowman's attorney, Michael Schindler, argued that his client was fully transparent every step of the way, from disclosing all of his paychecks to cashing them in his own bank under his own name. He just wasn't going to put it in the bank, but they come along and seize it. Like a player collapsing as they lose Twister, the government has reached too far forward and stretched way too far back. His motion to dismiss read. Last week, U.S. District Judge Michael Mossman sided with Bowman. I bet that guy lost his job. Bowman said, first, I'd love to pay taxes so as to have a normal life. However, go down, Jared, please. Our government is using the tax dollars to fund Planned Parenthood, which commits abortion, the death of the innocent. Apparently, a woman has a right to choose, but evidently I don't. Boom! Say, Coach, you telling me taxes? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you this. If you think we're going to overthrow this beast without some personal sacrifice and resistance, we're greatly, greatly.
Hey, deceived. Coach?
Somebody come in. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, couldn't you say that paying taxes to a government that funds the murder of babies makes you an accomplice to a murder?
Well, Larry, what am I going to do when I stand before the Lord? See, I take this stuff serious. When I stand before the Lord and he says, Coach, you continued to fund the killing of babies? What were you thinking? So,
hey, Coach.
You know, Lord, they said I had to. The IRS said I had to. Really? And you listen to them? Even though I told you that I hate hands that shed innocent blood? And, Coach, you're paying for it? There's blood on your hands? And I'm supposed to look the other way? I take it very, very seriously, boys. Hey, George.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm just sitting here watching the Channel 6 news, and that's just what you said about the bill. It just scrolled across the screen, and it said that that weasel Republican that blocked it said mm-hmm. he's against abortion.
Sure he is.
But he didn't want it to vote for it because he believed that it would be ruled unconstitutional. So here's what we do, Coach. Next Wednesday, Alan sent out a message. I'm going to be one of the speakers down at the city hall. We're going to double down. These weasels are going to double down. We'll double down because you're right. The time is now. If we don't do it, if we don't take action, who's going to do it? I encourage everyone on the huddle, go to your city town hall meetings. Let's get this across the nation. Let's start making our voice heard. If that weasel can do it, that weasel pro-life Republican, then what the heck are we doing?
Hey, Jared, real quickly, Google John Speed before city council. See if you find it. John Speed before city council. Because in New York, in the state of New York, that might be there. It might be John Speed Facebook. That might do it, Jared. Let's see if that does it. John Speed is a pastor in up by Syracuse. And I don't know if you know this or not. In this new law that's been passed in – I'm sorry, I'm reading to see if this is it. I don't think it is. In this new law that's been passed in New York, it gives the individual cities the right to declare – yeah, that was it, Jared. The right to declare themselves sanctuary cities. Did you guys know that? Because they're sanctuary cities for the marijuana, sanctuary cities for the – immigrants. Well, the New York law said that you can call yourself a sanctuary city for the unborn. Most, we didn't know this, right? We didn't know this. So John Speed, scroll down and see if it shows it, Jared. His 3 minutes before the city council. Oh man, we got to find that video where he speaks to him. I'm sorry. This just popped up. No, see if it's not a YouTube video down there, Jared, the bottom of him speaking to the city council. No, daggone it. Keep looking for it because I wish, daggone it, wish I knew I was going to go there. George, this is relevant to you, right? This is relevant to all of us. That yeah, maybe that'll do it, Jared. That we have got to exert ourselves. Keep scrolling. It's got to be down there somewhere, Jared. We have got to begin to exert ourselves in our local government and say we're not going to kill babies here. Not going to do it here. Daggone, I wish I could find it because it's a powerful 3 minutes. Somebody jump in here while Jared's looking for it. I wouldn't keep doing it, but there it is, Jared. There it is. Next one. On down. You're in the right room. You're in the right room. Go on down. See if John Speed doesn't come up.
Coach.
Yes.
What happens to the phrase life, liberty, and justice for all?
Life, liberty. Here it is. Okay. This is Pastor John Speed. Sorry, Vic. Before city council, this is what we need godly men to do. This is what we need our pastors to do. We can win. Not in the end. We can win now. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
My name is John Speed. I was born in Batavia, raised in Oakfield, and I pastored Genesee Country Church there from 2000 to 2005.
Hold on a second, Jared. As he's watching, look at these clowns sitting behind these desks. These scoundrel, God-hating cowards sitting behind these desks as he's reading them the riot act. Now, John went there to say to the city council, no abortion here. Go ahead, Jared.
My son was also born here in Batavia. I'm the co-producer of the pro-life documentary, Babies Are Murdered Here. I'm the pastor of Christ is King Baptist Church, and I currently own and operate a bookstore in Syracuse, New York. Received national media attention when we closed our store for the day on January 23rd. On that day, we refused to collect New York State sales tax and made a statement that has resonated around the world. We continue to collect sales tax as law-abiding citizens, but we do so under duress.
Amen!
As you consider drafting a letter to Governor Cuomo, my question to the entire council is this. What is the best way to kill a baby? Is it using an abortifacient like the RU-486, morning after pill? Is it a saline abortion where the baby is burned alive in the mother's womb? Is it a surgical abortion in the second trimester where the baby is cut into pieces and then reassembled in a dish? Is that the best way? Perhaps it's to deliver the baby in the third trimester and then stick a pair of scissors into the base of his or her neck. Because that's what we're talking about here. All of it. Which way is the best way to kill a baby? The answer is obvious to anyone with a conscience. There is no good way to kill a baby. Thou shalt not kill. According to Romans 13:4, the city council serves as a minister of God to terrorize evildoers. You must use your authority to support what is good while punishing what's evil. Babies are murdered in Batavia, New York, every day that Planned Parenthood is open. Every day that an abortifacient is sold. Every day that an abortifacient is sold. Don't tell me you don't give those out.
Please address your comments to me, please.
They're being sold over the counter in Walmart, right here in town. Every day that an OBGYN sells these products in their own offices. Babies are murdered under your jurisdiction. Whether it's legal to do so or not is irrelevant. Everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal by German law. Please lead the way in upstate New York and make Batavia a sanctuary city for the unborn. Governor Cuomo has given the counties and the cities the right for self-governance using the sanctuary city model with immigration. You guys can do this. You have the opportunity. Declare it to be a sanctuary city for the unborn. We are called to love our neighbors, born and unborn, as we love ourselves. Now the good news is that even the sin of abortion can be forgiven when someone repents of their sin and trusts in Jesus Christ alone. But that forgiveness does not release this council from its responsibility to love mercy, do justly, and to walk humbly with your God. In fact, it means that if you do not rescue those who are appointed for the slaughter, their blood will be on your hands.
Amen, Pastor John Speed. Amen. How long are we going to sit around and allow mandates from Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Chuck Schumer? How long are we going to allow our lives and our families to be ruled by those tyrants? Somebody come on in. I got more. Nobody? All right.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And listen, I know what I'm going to do. I'm staying in Brooklyn. I'm staying in Brooklyn on the day of mourning, and I'm going to represent Brooklyn. Instead of wasting 3 hours going up to Albany, for me, it's better if I stay in Brooklyn, if I go into Brooklyn Bridge Park, and I represent the babies and show them that they're,
you know what,
murdering.
You know what I'm going to do, Vinny?
What's
I'm going to take my, I'm going to take my abortion signs, and I'm going to walk 2 miles from my house, and I'm going to hang my abortion signs over the overpass of I-70. It goes right by my house. I'm going to hang the grisly abortion pictures over the freeway. That's what I'm going to go do.
Amen.
Because listen, boys and girls, until we arise, I'm talking about us, God-fearing people, till we arise, if we allow our voices to continue to remain silent, did I tell you the worm's turned? Did I tell you that? It's turned. Now, we've got to decide what it is that we're going to do. Jared, go down and click on is the worm turning, Jared. Click on that one for me. Another one.
Fear and unbelieving. I am not afraid to identify with what we are talking about.
We can't be.
It's that simple, Coach.
Hey, Randy, does Jesus Christ want to see abortion end, or is he just waiting till in the end when we're out of here, then he'll take care of it? Or does he want every precious little baby right now, today, created in the image of him, rescued? Does he want them rescued? I say, yes, he does. I say he doesn't want to wait till we're out of here, till we're snatched away, till our, well, Okay, so here it is. Pro-life win. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a pro-life win. The governor announced his plan to sign a bill banning abortion when a heartbeat is detected. Oh, I understand. It doesn't eliminate all heartbeats. Hey, boys, I can tell you this. First down. That's a first down on our way. First down, pro-life. Mississippi. Something's going on. There's heartbeat bills. Do you guys have any idea how many heartbeat bills and abortion bills are now being introduced in state legislatures all across America? And what's the old coach been saying? We got to play where we can win. George, we can win in Oklahoma. We can win in Texas. Hey, what was it? Was it President Harrison? I can't remember which one it was. Old Hickory. So well, the Supreme Court's made their decisions. Let's see them enforce it. There's no power. There's no enforcement to a Supreme Court decision. We've sat around and we've let them mandate on down, stolen the entire First Amendment away from us. Jesus is coming, boys.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Amen, Coach.
They govern only by our consent. And guess what? I think we're going to stop giving our consent if they're just going to murder children.
That's what I'm saying. Stay with me. Stay with me. Hey, Jared, parents can win. Click on that one. Click on that one, Jared. I don't have time to read it all. You know why we don't win? Because we don't fight. Mass resistance. Brian Kamiker's group. Jeff Nell's a part of this out in California. Mass resistant parent has additional success against the LGBT agenda in California elementary school district. What did she do? She stood up against it. She fought back against it. She's getting this. She got in there and she found out that the school board was in cahoots with the homo groups, the individual school board meetings, members who are gay friendly were getting a hold of the human rights campaign and asking advice how to bring this stuff into our school. And she said enough of it. And she stood up against it. By the way, can, hey, Jared, scroll down to the bottom. See if you can find her powerful team. Clear on down the bottom is a picture of her. She overwhelmed them. She overwhelmed. This is so good. I wish I had time to read it. But we'll keep on going. The future is not binary. 2, 4, 6, 8. Don't assume your kid is straight. That's the other side. They always show up. There's another homo. They always show up. There's a cop. He just enforcing the law. Just enforcing. There's one of the board members. This is a good article. I'll put it in there. There's her team. There they are. That looks like some of us, doesn't it? She stood up against him, took a few people with her.
What a bunch of goofballs. Dave, what a bunch of goofballs.
Looked like a bunch of goofballs. They won! They won!
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Here in El Paso, one of the high schools where my wife works at, the principal, she's gay, and that's what makes it so easy for these bums to introduce all their agenda.
I wonder if she's
our agenda.
Do you think she's for traditional marriage? That do you think she wants to see traditional values taught to the kids in her school? Probably
not. I don't think
so. Probably not. And I remember the day in American public education. You guys know I'm telling you the truth, where a woman could not be married and be a school teacher. You remember that? She had to be single. She had to be single. What it's school marms, they called them. Remember that? And then now, not only are they allowed to be homosexuals and be teachers, now they get to be bosses. Now we elect them as governors. Why?
Hey, Coach. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coach, I woke up in a really good mood this morning. Now I'm really pissed.
Good, man. You should be.
No. Seriously, I mean, I woke up pretty jovial and, you know, like – And then you had to share the thing about Oklahoma, and then I read it, and man, I'm telling you guys, there needs to be a holy righteous anger. We need to rise up. You know what? I'm just going to pray the Holy Spirit will be all upon me. To all glory be to Him. But man, it's not going to be mamby pamby.
No,
nicely those. You know what? It's going to be. It's time, guys, to make some things happen. And if we don't do it, we need to start a fire that's going to go all across this nation and wake people up. Be so graphic. Be so one, it's going to start waking people up.
Let me throw another one in your lap, all you Trump haters out there. All of you guys, all of you never Trumpers who are sitting around praying he fails so that you could be right. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of you. There's a lot of you. I'm just telling you that, huh? Okay, here you go, Trump haters. Remember, the worm has turned. The floodgates are flowing the other way, and we're too stupid to understand it. We're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We can't wait to get out of here. Oh, we'll be out of here. That blessed hope will soon be out of here. I'm not making fun of those of you who believe in the rapture, but if you believed in the rapture, you'd be fighting like hell right now to get people saved instead of hiding inside your church praying that you get out of here.
Hey, Coach.
We've seen
the B team. Down in Florida, the John Hartzell made a statement to me, maybe others, and it just stirred me up. He said, you know what we're seeing? We're seeing coaches putting together the A team.
Amen, brother.
I'll say something even more than that, Coach. I believe the Holy Spirit's putting together the A team.
I believe so, too. Hey, Randy, can I tell you this? To win now.
It's to escape, Coach, so we can get out of here.
Yeah. Let everybody else suffer the consequences of their sin. That's real, Christian. Okay, so here, all you never Trumpers, oh, he touched pussies and he was a womanizer and Trump backs push for Bible classes in school.
Amen.
What? Yeah. See if there isn't a video associated with this, Jared. Are you kidding me? Trump wants the Bible in schools? I thought he was Mossad.
Imagine that, huh?
Hey, Coach, but you see, this is where it starts. It starts with the Bible. And, you know, they're trying to prevent the Bible. And the article that I sent you about the governor there in Mississippi being willing to sign the bill that it goes from 12 weeks to 6 weeks, the heartbeat bill. And that's what Dale was down there, what they were doing down there in Jackson, Mississippi. Praise the Lord that you know, men like Dale, like George, everybody that gets involved, this is what it's about. You got to be on fire.
You got to hear me. You got to hear me, folks. Quit asking Trump to end abortion. It's not his job. It's a state issue. It's a church, local, state's issue. Quit asking Trump to do something that is not his job.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Amen.
Okay, Coach, here's what Trump has done. Let's be really clear on this. This is what he's done. He has, by us electing Donald Trump in 2016, he has kept the door open for people like me and you to go down to our city councils and our voice heard. If Hillary Clinton had got elected, there's no question she would have done everything to prevent us from legally going down and peacefully making our voice heard. If we just keep it at that level, Coach is right. Trump isn't going to end it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
He's given us he's opened the floodgates for us to flow in. Jared, go to Matthew 18. Go to Matthew 18. I really feel this today. Something's happening, boys. And it came to pass, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What a question. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, listen, let me tell you something, boys and girls. Unless you become converted and act like these little children, you are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Woo! I thought Jesus loves everybody. I thought everybody's going to heaven. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself. By the way, what do little children do? Oh, I know. They obey their father. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself like this little kid, that's good guys. That's the greatest guy in the kingdom of heaven. That guy right there who humbles himself. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, he receives me. Not, boys and girls, and have blood on your hands. Whosoever shall offend, or how about this, permit one of these little ones which believe in me, be better than put a millstone around your neck, hanged about his neck, and that he would drown.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that humility is the key factor in those verses, but it is a key factor. And whoever shall humble himself as a little child, like this little child, that our grown-up concept of humility is way different from the natural humility of a little child. A little child is only so tall. They look around them. The whole world consists of great big people. That puts on a natural humility in their perspective of things. They understand that they are a very little part of the whole picture. We need to get that understanding in our lives.
Verse 7. It's interesting how he makes this transition and we don't even realize. He says, you're gonna let them teach little kids that they're supposed to have sex with the same sex? Huh? You letting them do that? You're paying your tax dollars that? You're going to let them murder little... You let them do that? And what's the transition? Woe unto the world because of offenses. For must needs be that offenses come. He said, you're going to tick people off when you start telling them they can't do that. They're going to be offended. He says, woe to that man by whom the offense comes. He says, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut it off. Cast him from thee. For it's better for you to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Throw it away from you, because it's better for you to enter into life blind rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. But the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. The worm's turned, boys and girls. Right here in the good old U.S. of A., it is turned. And I'm going to warn you again of this. God's not going to use the churches. He's not going to use the church. Some of them he will. Some with good pastors and good leaders, some of them he will. But the church has become a business. And they're more concerned about business being good than they are obeying their Father. And right now, the Lord has made it very, very apparent that they're murdering children in America and the pulpits are silent.
Amen.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't email. I texted the pastor, okay, because I have his phone number. I texted him the activist mommy's video that's the announcement for the day of mourning in New York. I asked him to please play that for the church congregation so as to raise the consciousness of the congregation as to the sin of abortion. And no response. Crickets.
No.
One other thing, okay. New York State, by the way, and this probably wasn't the result of the new abortion law, more the result of the tax legislation that Trump passed, because there's a cap on property on tax deductions now, New York State was just announced by Cuomo, they have lost $2.3 billion because the high net worth people are moving out of New York.
Judgment, brother. judgment, judgment. Listen, the worm is turning. The gates are being opened. Let's pray that God arise and his enemies be scattered. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.